Begin transmission.
Aro.com.
Y sigue la fiesta en Tequila Nightclub este sábado 29 de junio.
Sí, es verdad. It's 19:30 UTC. And that means it's time for another episode of the Dubious Goals Committee. My name is Tobe. I'm the chairman of this committee, and it's a beautiful day, meaning that it's raining. I woke up to rain, and that was awesome. And now I'm out and about, and I just pulled into Herrenhaven. And here's the craziest thing. As I pulled into Herrenhaven, there's a Mati in the parking lot. He just ran down the little road that goes towards the Mulhall's property. I just got out of my car. I'm going to see if he's still hanging out over there, because when I pulled in, he spooked a little bit, but then he chilled out. And he's going to come into view any second here. Is he still down there? Oh, I see his. Yes, there he is. Hi, Mati. There's some birds down there. Oh, the Mati's running. Where is he going? Oh, he spooked the squirrel. And now he's stopped under the Mulhall's gate. I see you, Mati. And this is one of our young Matis that we've been seeing under the shed and everything. This guy was born this spring. Oh, I can see him. I see a Mati. I knew this was going to be a great day to come out. I woke up to rain. I went back to sleep. Woke up again. It was still raining. I went back to sleep. And, okay, there he goes. Mr. Mati just went into the den that's under the fence, under the gate, that little culvert. I'm about, 40 meters away. And now somebody else is pulling in. That Mati. Damn it. Now this means we're going to have, it's a whole family of screamers too. So that Mati is hiding down there. And I can't see him anymore, but I know he's in that hole. Does this mean I want to go? Oh, I wish I would have gotten here a little bit sooner. Now I'm wondering if we should sneak up on that hole. I've only got the little camera with me. But he's in there. Maybe we should go up there. Well, these people go get lost in the forest. We have definitely had a good day so far. On the way over here, I saw three turkeys. It's below 80 degrees. It's like 76 degrees right now. It's overcast. And this is the first day it hasn't been blazing hot in forever. So I'm very happy. Very happy to have already seen a Mati and some turkeys. All right, we're getting close to the tree where this culvert is. There's some plants in the way, so I can't really see anything. Where's my Mati? Where's my Mati? I can't even see if his face is sticking out. I don't think it is, though. No. Yeah, no. He's in there hiding. He's in there hiding good. Where's my Mati? Maybe he's sticking his head out the other side. Let's go over here. I don't see him. Oh, yeah. All right. Well, it is a little breezy, so if you hear some wind noise, I apologize. Well, that marmot, if he's running around, maybe we'll get some other guys running around. And if that guy is out, maybe his brother is out. Or maybe it's his sister. Whatever sibling he has, they might be out over here by the shed. But what are these other people doing? They're being dorks. We're never going to be able to get past these people. Let's go over here to the shed and see who's hiding under the shed. There's a couple rabbits running around. There's a couple birds doing their birdie business. And what's going on in the shed? Oh, I do not see any Mati faces. What's going on in Mati Town? I'm at the front of the shed looking underneath. I don't see any faces looking out at me. Oh, what a great day this has been so far. Three turkeys and a marmot as soon as we pulled into the parking lot. That's so great. Walking by the dragonfly pond, it is just a solid, unbroken field of duckweed. It's pretty awesome. I'm going to go up here to the bocage for a couple reasons. Let the people who are ahead of me, they're going to go spook all the dudes. But we'll let those people go through. Maybe we can pass them up. As I approach the bocage, I can see some mushrooms growing on some logs. I'm going to look down in this hole. Any dudes in this hole? I don't see any dudes. I hear something in the trees. Is there a squirrel up there? What's going on up there? Oh, yeah. And on these logs, we got mushrooms galore. Some kind of what would apparently be a coprinus. And we've got some... Oh, we got some white jellies all over the place. And all of these are in places that I can't get to. I need to be able to crawl down there, but I can't get down in there. There's a lot of mushrooms. What's that over there? Oh, geez, more white jellies. What is up with my throat? Yeah, I ran out of my house as fast as I could. Didn't give my sinuses a chance to chill out. Oh, and look, here's some tree ears, some Auricularia auriculum growing on this dead branch of this tree right here. I don't know how much rain we got, but apparently we got, I don't know, enough. We got mushrooms sprouting around. That's good. Okay, so into the forest we go. That reminds me of something else. Last night I was watching TV and there was nothing on, and so I was flipping through the schedule and I noticed that there was going to be a show on one of the PBS channels, and it was called something like Rare Tales from the Photo Arc, or it was Rare Photos from the something. It got enough of my attention that I decided to check it out and see what it was about. And so I checked the description, and it was going to be a show about a guy who takes photographs of all of the rarest animals in the world. And I thought, ooh, okay, this is a show that I should watch because I like rare animals from around the world and I like to take photographs of them. Maybe I will learn something. Maybe I will get some tips for photographing the rare animals of the world. And so about 5 minutes later, when the show came on, I turned the channel to the show. And I started watching this show about this guy who works for National Geographic, and they send him out on assignments to photograph, like I said, the rarest animals in the world. So I'm watching the show. Okay, well, first of all, I'm at the crossroads. Presumably the people went out to the boardwalk, so I'm just going to cross the land bridge and go deeper into the forest here. Nothing in the billabong. Nothing in the
Subpont.
So I'm watching the show about the guy who photographs the rarest animals in the world for National Geographic.
Uh-huh. And the show starts off with the guy talking about how he's been sent out on assignment to Spain to photograph the extremely rare and endangered Iberian lynx. And I think to myself, oh, this ought to be good. Because I like cats. I like photos of cats. So the guy has to travel to somewhere in Spain. And where does he go? To take photos of the rare and endangered Iberian lynx? That's right, he goes to the zoo. I'm now in the wall blind, looking out over the billabong. Nothing going on back there. Yeah, so the guy went to the zoo to photograph the rare animal. And so I was like, okay, that's not right. I keep watching. This guy doesn't photo. This guy's not a wildlife photographer. He's a zoo photographer. You know, it's not real hard to photograph a Siberian tiger when, you know, all you're doing is going to the zoo. You're not capturing. Something's attacking me. Is that a squirrel up there? Oh, but there's a lot of auricularia up there on that twig. Yeah, so this guy, he's no nature photographer. He's a damn zoo photographer. And I wasn't impressed. And to make matters worse, he fakes his photos. So he spends all this time taking pictures of animals in cages. Then he imports his photographs into Photoshop and then, you know, just Photoshops in a pure black background or a pure white background. Oh, and at one point in time, he had to take a picture of some rare mink. And you know how much I like to photograph minks. I'm running around here trying to get pictures of them all the time. So what does the guy do? Yeah, he goes to the zoo where they have this rare mink. And basically they put the animal in a white box, a white light box. Light the damn thing up and take pictures of them. You know, and the mink's just staring right at the camera. Well, yeah, it's real easy to take a picture of a mink when you're going to a zoo and you have all the zookeepers helping you out. Here's your animal. I'll hold it down for you while you take a picture. Oh, the fools are here. All right, we're going back. Why do I get the feeling this is some kind of senior photo deal or something? I don't know. I'm sorry, but if you're going to be a wildlife photographer, I kind of think that you need to be out in the wild. Your photograph means nothing if it's just a taking of an animal in a zoo. You're no photographer. You did no work. There's no effort made. Wildlife is not in a zoo. That is captured life, not wildlife. And I want to know, how's this guy getting assignments from National Geographic if all he's doing is going to zoos and taking pictures of the rare captured animals? Does National Geographic know he's doing this? And then to make it worse, he photoshops his photos. So not only is he a terrible photographer, he's also a cheat. Then there's guys like me who are out every single day looking for those animals, trying to take pictures of them. Yeah, sure, I'm not taking pictures of the rare Iberian lynx, because I don't live on the Iberian Peninsula. But I do have a zoo here in town. Let me ask you your opinion, my dear listeners. If I went to the zoo in Omaha and took a picture of, you know, the white tigers that we have, or any of the other animals, and then photoshopped the background out so you couldn't tell that they were in a cage anymore and just made it all black or all white, would you really be impressed? You'd be stupid if you thought that was impressive. The reason I share my photos with people is because they were difficult to get, because I had to go through some effort and time to get them. If you've listened to this show long enough, you know that, yeah, we don't run into a marmot every day, and we only get a good photograph of a marmot, you know what, once a month, maybe, at best? And even then, those aren't always great photos. Alright, so now I'm walking into some frog zones. Hi, Froggy. There's a big frog on the path here. Working my way out to the boardwalk. I'm looking into the sub pond. Nothing going on back here. There's some big frogs out, but that's about it. So now I'm wondering how much National Geographic will pay me to go to my zoo and take pictures of all the rare animals we have in the Henry Dorley Zoo. You know, we got all those crazy marmosets and the lemurs, and of course we got all the white tigers and everything. Oh my god. Okay, I'm just starting to get out onto the boardwalk. There's a blue heron standing on the row marker again. Second time I've seen that. And there's actually ducks on the boardwalk. There's a lot of bugs flying around me today, too. There's something on this... Oh, there go the ducks. There's something on this log over here. Is that a turtle on that log under the trees? Or a frog? Oh, that's a big frog. There's a lot of bugs. Lots of bugs trying to land on me. I see dudes. Okay, there's some more ducks out there. A ways, swimming through the duckweed. Ducky ducklers, duck-a-luckins, having some fun. I'm slowly making my way down the boardwalk. See if I can tell which heron that is. It looks like Big Bluey. I'm pretty sure it's Big Bluey. And it might be drizzling a little bit. See, he's all kind of hunched over trying to protect himself from the rain, I guess. So that's nice. And he's just standing on the row marker. Doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. It's the only place to stand where my feet don't get wet, he says. And there's a lot of movement in the water. Lots of little fishy movement around here, and some froggy movement. Oh, the frogs are ducking out of the way. Well, there's not much else going on out here. Maybe we should go back and check on our Mati friend. Okay, see you later, Big Bluey. See you later, ducks. See you later, frogs. Ugh, it's really humid today, obviously, because it's been raining, and everything is damp. So it's kind of sticky, but it's not unpleasant. I should write National Geographic a letter. Bugs in my face. Dear National Geographic, I have a zoo in my town. You should pay me lots of dollars. Lots of dollars of money. I will take pictures of rare animals and I will Photoshop out the background. Ow. Damn, a fly was on my finger and biting it, and that was painful. Stupid bugs. Okay, we're getting out of this buggy zone. I don't like the bugs on my face. There's this other fly is trying to follow me around too. Okay. Back to the sub pond. Still nothing going on around here except for a bunch of big frogs hanging around. Because that's what they do. I couldn't believe it. And the thing that was even... that's even more amazing about this is that somebody thought, oh, this will make a good show. People like to watch shows about photographers taking pictures of animals. And since it's so expensive to send an expedition to Siberia to take pictures of the rare Siberian tiger, we should just send one guy to a zoo, because that'll just be so much cheaper. Oh, it would cost tens of thousands of dollars to set somebody up in Spain trying to take pictures of the Iberian lynx, you know, in the wild. So let's just spend, you know, $800 and get a plane ticket for a guy to go take a picture of that cat in the zoo. Oh, you gotta be kidding me. That's just blasphemy. If you can't get a picture of your quarry in the wild, I'm sorry, you're not a wildlife photographer. You're just a poser. And the fact that this is a TV show, let's watch a guy go to the zoo and take pictures of animals in cages. Oh, no. No, no, no. That ain't right. Nothing about that that's right. Okay, so here I am walking out of the forest, looking down into the dragonfly pond. Wait, what's that over there? I see a fuzzy lump back behind the building. Who is that over there? That's too damn, these bugs. That's, oh, it's a little bun. Hi, little bun. God damn, do these bugs follow me all the way out of the forest? This bug is bothering me. Okay, so... ooh, it's so humid, I'm starting to sweat, or at least water is condensing on me. I'm back in front of the shed. I don't see any signs of Matis. I can see the side hole. No sign of Mati's there, because we know where the Mati is. Let's go see if we can find him. I'm starting to get uncomfortable. I want to say I'm hot, but it's not hot. It's just so humid, it seems hot. Okay, so... yowza. We make a little turn right here. Start looking for our Mati. He's down there somewhere. Let's go see if we can find a Mati in a covert today. Because that's what we like. We like Matis. I like Matis. I like Matis a lot. Where's my dude? Alright, we're getting close enough that we need to start being real sneaky. And be real quiet and see what our dude is up to. Where's our dude? He's not sticking his face out. Don't you want to say hi to me, Mati? Mr. Mati is hiding. He doesn't want to come out of the hole. We'll go to the other side of the covert here. See if we can see any Mati heads sticking out. Nope. But there's a lot of mud that's been pushed out, so he's been digging over on this side. That's a good sign, I guess. What's going on out here on the Mulhall's property? Oh, nothing. No dudes. No birds. Nothing much going on at all. Okay, well, At least we got to see ourselves a mott. That's always good. And I saw those three turkeys on the way over here. They were just standing in somebody's lawn, going do-do-do-do-do, ruffling their feathers, acting like rain is inconvenient, which I have to disagree with. So, what was I talking about? Oh yeah, fake photographers. Don't be that guy. Oh sure, if you go to the zoo and you take your camera with you, feel free to take pictures of all the animals. You know, because then you'll be able to say, hey look, I went to the zoo and I saw these animals, so I took pictures of them. I like these animals and I like the pictures I took. Okay, that's fine. But what you're not allowed to do is to pretend you're a nature photographer and, oh, I take pictures of the rarest animals in the world. Then you go to the zoo, take pictures of animals in their cages, and then Photoshop the cages out. That is deceptive practice. That's dirty. That doesn't mean you're a good photographer. That means you're a terrible photographer. And you're just cheating. It's like claiming that, oh, I'm a nature photographer. And then what you do is you watch television shows on the Discovery Channel or the National Geographic Channel, and then you take pictures of the animals when they're on your TV. Oh, look at this picture of a tiger I got. It's a tiger in the wild. No. It doesn't work that way. I'm now standing in the mushroom garden. I'm looking around up in the trees, looking for dudes who might be hiding up there. I'm looking around. A lot of this ground cover right here in the middle died for some reason. That's bizarre. We got this brown patch. And what do we got over here on these logs? Any mushrooms on the logs? Any mushrooms on the logs? Yeah, so it took me, what, 3 years to get a decent photograph of a mink? And even then, it wasn't all that great. You know, it was just a photo of a mink. It took me 3 years to get one. But my picture is of an actual wild mink in the wild. I did not go to the zoo and take a special light box with me, and the zookeepers did not go find a mink in a cage and put it in my magic photo box. I actually found, tracked, and got the shot of a mink in the wild. And that's what makes me better than this poser who has a TV show about, oh, I shoot the rarest animals in the world. Yeah, well, I could do that too. It's real easy. Anybody listening to this show could do this. It's real easy to go to a zoo and let the zookeepers bring the animals to you so you can take pictures of them. That's not photography. That's not wildlife photography. That's just, you know, lessons on how to be a poser. And that's commandment number one. Thou shalt not pose. Thou shalt be a real melon farmer at all times. There will be no posing. And you're sure as hell not going to hear it here on the Dubious Goals Committee, a show that you've been listening to that airs every single day at 19:30 UTC, right here on Anon Radio. Well, it's time for me to go home. Maybe I'll punch a poser. Bye-bye.
This is the end of the line for me. The end of the line, yes.
スイズ DJ 風魔田ウェルカムトゥー